Good afternoon. I'm going to call the Tax Committee to order, and we're going to take Representative Anderson's bill. We're going to take Representative Anderson's bill. Welcome to the committee and your guests. We don't have a quorum yet, Representative Anderson, but we're going to get started anyhow. And as soon as we do, we will move your bill. So, this is House Bill 2905, and members know that we've asked everyone who has a bill this year to pay for their bill. Representative Anderson, I don't believe, did, but that's because I'm hearing it because it's under $100,000. So we've done that with a few other very small bills. The Haitian tax relief was $10,000, for example, and we actually passed that. So welcome to the committee, Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and thanks, committee members, for hearing our bill today. The reason we're late is because it took a while to get this huge fiscal number. We didn't wait, it finally came, and some would say pocket change to our budget, but we do have some avenues for coming up with the money if we need to do that. But with me today are the mayor of Freeport, Minnesota, Matt Worms, along with the city administrator, Paul Hetland. It's the home of Charlie's Cafe, too, by the way. And the reason, the background behind this bill, I stopped for coffee in town one day, and they had had a random sales tax audit by the Department of Revenue, and they were subjected to a three-year payback on sales tax water used for public safety, for fighting fires and such. And it just didn't seem fair that they should have to pay sales tax on water used for things such as fighting fires, flushing hydrants, cleaning water towers, things like that. So we got together, and there appears to be kind of a loophole in a lot of these exemptions for fire departments in what is exempt and what is not exempt from sales tax and not paying sales tax. And I'd like to call up Pat Dalton, the House Research, to go over some of those exemptions for sales tax payment in Minnesota.
Ms. Dalton.
For the record, I'm Pat Dalton with House Research, and Representative Anderson is correct. We have a number of exemptions for fire protection. Probably the biggest is all the public safety equipment for firefighters, and then we also exempt all of their fire trucks. Water is taxable except for residential use under current law, and so unless we explicitly exempt this, they are subject to the sales tax on their use of water.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton. And I don't know, Representative Anderson, if you want Mayor Worms to talk to us, or is it City Clerk, Mr. Hetland?
Yeah, please.
Madam Chair, thank you, members of the committee. Does everyone have before them the little sheet I made this morning for your
viewing
pleasure?
We like the smiley face and the sad face.
I was hoping you would like that, Madam Chair. The current bill, I think Representative Anderson spelled that out very, very clearly, what current law is, and we were completely surprised to be able to see that roughly out of our 1.2 million gallons that we pump, and you know that as a state because we have to report that to the Minnesota Department of Health, so there's no room on our end to squeak around saying, well, maybe it's leaky pipes, or maybe you don't know what we're pumping. You know what we're pumping. The residential and commercial for Freeport is about 922,000 gallons per month. And then out of that, then, the remainder for public safety, really for, again, fighting fires, drills, things like that, are about 278,000 gallons per month. As of the January 11th statement for Minnesota Revenue, really we had owed for 06, 07, 08, a little over $8,200 in back taxes for our water. That equates to about $2,700 per month in sales tax. The representative from Department of Revenue we've been working with has actually said, he says, I don't like it either, Paul, because the reality is, you know, we don't tax you for fixing a fire truck, but we tax you for putting out the fire that the fire truck responds to, whether that be foam or whether that be water, or if Superman himself blew it out, we'd find a way to tax Superman's breath. So that was his statement. Was like, you need to talk to the people who make the laws, not us who execute the laws. So you can probably thank the next agent of the revenue next time you're talking for throwing you under the bus. But at least we thought, well, this was at least a good effort for us to start looking at changing that law. As Representative Anderson pointed out, too, that the fiscal impact of this per year is about $15,000. So to look at our amount being about a fifth of that seems a little high, and also probably should be a major note that most cities in the state are not paying this amount. So we felt it was grossly unfair that certainly we were hit with it. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And I think that's kind of a side issue here, aside from the actual paying of the tax. It's that the law is a bit unclear, ambiguous, and not all cities are paying it. In Freeport, was subject to this sales tax audit when they were audited. So we need to clear up at least should they or shouldn't they have to pay this sales tax audit, the sales tax on the money they use to fight fires. Again, also with us is Mayor Matt Worms. Matt, do you have a comment on this?
Well, Mr. Mayor, welcome.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. It's kind of a surprise, sales tax. Most people assume that when your property tax for a service like fire service, that this would all be included. And come back and go after somebody for their water that you've used to put out their fire at their residence. To tax the water that you've used really seems unfair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Representative Anderson.
Just some final comments, Madam Chair. When this first became aware at the Freeport City Council, the fire chief asked the council, should we use less water when we fight fires? We certainly don't want that to happen to our fire departments. We want them to work in the best way they possibly can to protect the citizens in their towns in doing the job that they do. And I would just add that we would like to see some clarification of this ruling, this law. I also talked to the Department of Public Safety, and the other handout that you have, I believe it's in highlighted, that already in statutes 445.25 exempts water used in sprinkler systems from any unnecessary fees and such. So we already have something like this in statute for water used in sprinkler systems to suppress fires in buildings. So we would ask that you look at this and agree with us and see favorably on amending this part of state law. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. I'm going to ask, we have a few people on the list. I'm going to ask Ms. Dalton a question as well here, but I do, Representative Anderson, I just want to tell you that your little bill for not taxing this water has a lot of tax policy issues contained in it. And just to throw them out there, just so you know, as a member who doesn't serve on the tax committee, we've had a lot of discussion over the years. Representative Coles this year, Representative Liebling, you know, why do local units of government pay sales tax on anything? Well, you know, sort of it's a double tax. You have people pay a tax for government, and then you tax other things for the state. So that's one big sort of policy issue, and it raises a lot of money every year. That's, you know, why we do it. Another issue is, should we have another author who has a bill to do the opposite, which is to start raising more revenue from water because it's a scarce resource in Minnesota. And of course, when you tax something, you get less of it. So it's a conservation activity to tax something so that people don't consume it. And this is more about our water tables and what's happening below Minnesota's soils. And so that's a bill that we might be hearing yet this year. But I do want to ask Ms. Dalton to answer the question as to why some cities might be paying a tax or not, because your statement that, you know, we need some clarification from revenue, I agree with you on that. We need to understand, and maybe revenue is here and wants to say something about this too, but Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is just one of those cases that I'm not necessarily sure that the fact sheet that would apply to local governments is really clear on this. As I said, unless we specifically exempt a purchase by a local government, it is considered taxable. But, you know, I'm just not sure that all cities were necessarily aware of that. The reason the retroactive effective date is written is to really deal with this issue for this city. And we have had similar retroactive effective dates in the past. Probably the most notable one was when we fixed the bread tax. back in 2004, and so we basically said, if you paid it, you paid it, and we aren't going to give you a refund on it, but if you didn't pay it, we are not going to audit you, we are not going to make you pay it now, we aren't going to make you pay penalties for not having known.
Okay, that's interesting. Representative Gardner, then Dill. Representative Gardner.
I have a couple of questions. I work on water pricing a lot. If I understand the officials from Freeport, you know what you've reported in gallons pumped per month to the health department. I think sometimes DNR tracks that also. And then they calculated how many public safety gallons there were by subtracting what had been metered for residential and commercial customers. I'm just curious how does you know that 270,000 gallons were pumped, say, out of a hydrant, for example?
Mr. Hetland?
It was, Madam Chair, members, basically it was a matter of deduction. So it wasn't a matter of a hydrant, it was the matter of all the other public safety reasons. So when we clean out water towers or when we clean out hydrants, we have huge iron deposits in our water. If that iron deposits get into our fire trucks, they gum up the pumps themselves and we can't fight a fire. So one of the major reasons we flush or clean our water towers is to make sure that when we turn on a pump for a fire truck, that pump operates to its maximum efficiency. So really in this calculus, that's what we're being taxed on, and we certainly consider all of that. Certainly are there secondary benefits? Sure. There's water quality as a secondary benefit, but primarily we look at it as a water safety.
Representative Garner.
Well, just as a follow-up, I'm fine with that. I actually had some fire training about 20 years ago, and I filled a truck, and that it's kind of fun. but I guess from a tax perspective, so the Department of Revenue said we're going through this, and we figured out how much public safety was using that you're taxable for, but the city didn't actually pay for the water.
But no.
And yet you're being taxed on the water.
Mr. Hedlund.
Madam Chair, thank you. Members, yes, that's exactly right. There's no money going in or out for that water, and yet we were taxed for it.
Representative Garner.
And it was the Department of Revenue who did this calculation to figure out the 278 and then figure out what your tax liability was.
Mr. Hedlund.
Madam Chair, yes.
Okay, so this, okay. So you don't have any sort of metering on... You can't meter on a hydrant. You're just, there could be leakage somewhere else too, right? I mean,
Madam Chair, correctly.
It may not necessarily be all public safety. You're just throwing throwing in everything that wasn't accounted for through some metering for residential or commercial use. It might be 278 minus whatever leakage there is, or maybe somebody's siphoning off something that isn't metered, the meter's not working. And I found out that metering accuracy is kind of iffy, within 5, 10, 20%.
Okay. Madam Chair, yes, that's absolutely correct. It's really the difference of residential and commercial.
Okay, we have Representative Dill, Liebling, Hillstrom. I want to ask, so Representative Hillstrom, were you to that point? Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So is there no other way to find out how much you actually use for public safety? Like, you fought 100 fires or 200 fires and your truck holds however many gallons. Because, frankly, I don't necessarily think that when you flush the fire hydrant for water quality purposes that that's really a public safety issue. And I don't really think that if there are leakages or people stealing from the fire hydrant and filling their commercial trucks that those are really public safety issues. So... is there no other way other than deducting this to come up with the number of gallons?
Manager Hetland.
Madam Chair, no, it's a very good question, Representative. It is one of these, for one, when we fight fires, not all of the water, for one, we have multiple entities that we serve. We don't just serve the city of Freeport, we serve two other cities and four other townships. So we have intergovernmental cooperation agreements with them. When we have like a grass fire per se in one of the townships in the other cities, the first load they get is from our Smiley Water Tower. The next load is that they get more likely from a lake or a stream nearby the fire. So to merely calculate that which is in the fire truck at any given time or what they're pumping out may actually be coming from a public waterway, which probably gets to Madam Chair's comment on the other bill when you start to look at water conservation, but certainly that's for putting on a fire directly. So not all of it that they pump out of a truck necessarily comes from the tower. On the note, certainly, of the particulates that are in there, the mayor and myself, as members of State Statute on Relief Association, attend the fire department's monthly meetings. If we're not cleaning out those fire hydrants, Matt and I both will hear from the firefighters that we're not properly cleaning out the fire hydrants so it doesn't get into their trucks. So yes, there is a secondary benefit for water quality, and maybe not all cities are the same, but certainly for Freeport and from our testimony, it's a major component in public safety.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But it also is a major component of the quality of the drinking water that comes out and the quality of the water that people get in their homes. And I don't necessarily think that you can argue that it's a public safety issue only just because you're keeping the trucks cleaner and they're not plugging. I really think that there are other benefits that the homeowners are getting. They're flushing the system in my neighborhood, and you know, while right now I'm having a lot of rust come in the house, when we do our laundry pretty soon, it will be much more beneficial for the water quality in my home. But that's not a public safety issue.
Thank you. Madam Chair, actually, that I certainly don't want to seem argumentative because that's not sales tax. So if we do want to argue that's for water quality, I will 100% support you in how much, if you want to say all of it's for residential water quality reasons, then we're not taxed on that at all anyway.
Okay, and members, I was just looking at our good old handy-dandy tax expenditure book, and the exemption for residential water sewer is $116.7 million price tag for next biennium. So nothing to do. I mean, this isn't your bill, but there's a lot of tax ramifications on what to tax or not to tax. And so if we give $116.7 million tax exemption for residential and sewer water right now. So this would be adding to that. And members in this committee have spent a lot of time thinking about tax expenditures. Whenever we carve out anything, it's less revenue to the state, of course. We know this is a small price tag, but just thinking about the policy perspective. Representative Dill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I get the other two members were getting to where I was going with my thinking, having been a city administrator for a while. I think we shouldn't have to pay sales tax at all. I'm back to the Arne Carlson days of putting on 0.5% to help out for LGA, and now it's permanent, and paying sales tax on all kinds of things that we never dreamed we'd pay sales tax on, but it just seems to be the way it is. This creates more confusion from a policy standpoint. I mean, because if the firefighter goes to the bathroom in City Hall while he's there at a training meeting, is that flush of the toilet public safety? And so, you're using water. And the point I'm trying to make here is that maybe what we should have is that calculation that says number of gallons sold to residential and commercial versus number of gallons pumped, and that we make an assumption that the rest of them are used for public safety of some nature or for municipal uses. And let me give you an example. One of the things that happens in our community all the time right this month is that members of the community will call down to City Hall and want to have their street cleaned from the fire hydrants, have the sand washed off of it, and have it looking not out of their parking lot or an area. The DNR will call and want the boat launching ramp washed off from salt and debris. And so the way your calculation is, and I'm with you on this, but I'm just saying I understand the chair's problem, and many of us is the policy issue. I mean, those would be, the way your bill is written, that would all be getting used for public safety, and then that goes to Representative Hillstrom's, and then that goes to mine, where you got a tourist information center and people stop to use the bathroom, and then we're now giving them sales tax. It's just a kind of like flying in a fog bank without instruments here. So maybe we need to have a different look at the way this all ends up. If you can follow my thinking, I know I kind of went around in a circle.
Well, and Representative Dill, I'm going to ask Ms. Dalton to maybe just come to where there's a mic regularly for this bill. And that is because, and Representative Anderson thought he was just carrying this little bill, but one other piece in all of this is the Governor's 21st Century Tax Reform Commission last year, in its proposal to expand the sales tax to services and all products to thereby, and then lower the rate, and it had a bunch of things going on. It was cut a lot of business taxes, pay for those tax cuts, but also then lower the sales tax rate. And it didn't go into a lot of detail. I carried the bill on that. But this would be counter to that recommendation in that, you know, the idea is sort of you either do all or none. You kind of tax all the water or you don't. But you're trying to not carve little pieces in and out. We're already doing that. You're not Representative Anderson. Long before you or I were here, people are making these choices all over the tax code. And I think these sort of broad-based sales tax reform concepts would say, you know, stop doing that. Either don't tax any water or tax all water. And, you know, or don't tax anything the governments, the local unit governments are paying for. The problem for all of us, of course, as politicians, is there's cost to all these kinds of votes. But I do want to bring up something, ask Ms. Dalton to respond to what Representative Dill just said, which I don't think any of us were here for this except maybe Representative Carlson and maybe, I don't know if Representative Rukavina is in the room, but there was this discussion quite a while ago, and I think, you know, everybody has a different definition of what, you know, I've heard it told many ways about the trade-off between LGA and local sales taxes, and, you know, I'd like to just get a little sort of first nonpartisan memory of kind of what that was all about, and then maybe ask the members who are here for that exchange to explain what Representative Dill was just talking about. Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, back in, and we believe it's 1991, yeah, the 90s, they start, oh, I'm sorry, it is 92. They all the years start to kind of run together after a certain point. The state was facing a budget crisis. The state was looking at, again, cutting local government aid, not a real surprise to anybody. And at that point, there were a number of cities who did not get very much LGA, or they got no LGA. And there was no way to cut them as heavily as there was to cut cities that had significant local government aid. And so the compromise to try to spread the pain across all local governments was to, instead of cutting those aid programs, to instead impose a sales tax on all local government purchases. So that's essentially what happened. Since then, we have been piecemealing away the tax on local governments by exempting fire trucks, exempting libraries, exempting public safety equipment, and gravel for town roads. So it's been kind of a scaling back since 1992.
Okay, and I think additionally there's been a number of building projects that local units of governments have brought forward over the years. We haven't passed a lot of them since I've been here, but I know in the past people have gotten, you know, no sales tax to build their new city hall or no sales tax to build the new local whatever fire station. So there's a lot of efforts of undoing that as well. So there's just a lot going on there. Representative Gardner, Eastland, Davids. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Liebling was ahead of all of them. Representative Liebling.
But thank you, Madam Chair. I just really had a question about this, and Representative Gardner kind of touched on it, and maybe I just missed something here, but sales tax, you think of when somebody's buying something, they're purchasing something, and here in the language of the bill it says purchases of water. But you know, I guess I wouldn't have thought of local governments purchasing water, you know. And so that's what I'm not really clear about. If there's no money changing hands, or maybe there is for some local governments but not for others, I mean, you sort of understand what my question is here. I mean, you know, if you, for instance, if my city, say, found a way to capture methane and use it out of the landfill, you know, does that mean suddenly we ought to pay a sales tax on it? We're not buying it from anybody.
Well, before Ms. Dalton answers, I don't know if you were here right at the beginning, Representative Liebling, but this is the issue raised by another author, that when you're taking money out of the aquifer, you know, people are buying it. And in the future for this state, maybe other states are going to want to buy our water. And what is going to be our taxing mechanism as we begin to be one of the states that others are looking for water? And we've already signed agreements with the Great Lakes states, Canada, and others, and we're all trying to preserve our water table. But there's a lot of different levels of when the tax happens on water. Ms.
Right.
Helton.
So, Madam Chair, if I could just, before she does that, if I could just sort of complete the question then, because it's kind of, you know, when are you buying it? When are you not buying it so that sales tax applies?
Right. Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, Representative Liebling, if sales tax does not apply, use tax does. So this state has a complementary use tax. So if you are in the business of selling something and you take something out of inventory that you would normally sell and you use it for your own personal whatever, you owe use tax on that. If you own a furniture store and you decide to take a couch home and put it in your own living room, you will owe a use tax on it. No money has changed hands. The same thing is going on here in the city. The city may be providing the water, but it's to itself, but it's something that it actually sells, so therefore it owes a use tax on the use of that water.
Interesting. Okay, so you were to that point, Representative Dill, then it's Gardner, Eastland, Davids. Representative Dill.
I'm not sure I can get in on that point.
Okay, well, we'll head to Representative Gardner.
I kind of got a different twist that may be that point. But
okay, we'll move you down. Representative Gardner.
Well, two things, Madam Chair. I would just suggest if nothing happens with this bill that the Department of Revenue and the DNR and the Rural Water Association get together, because to assume that public safety is the remainder after you take all your metered stuff, I think is a stretch. I mean, there's in the work I've done on water, I mean, there's lots of other places where water is going, if only from leakage, which can be, you know, 5 to 10%. So I guess I dispute the number that the Department of Revenue is coming up with there. So if they have any guidance they can work out with the DNR or whoever, I think that would be good. I was just going to mention too, for the on the issue of conservation, we actually do have something in place. The in 2008 we passed the conservation rate structure that I worked on, so that cities in the metro area have to have a tiered rate structure by this year, and then Greater Minnesota by 2013. So there are tools and toolbox for doing that. I learned the hazards of trying to apply the sales tax even to a portion of some resource last year, and my rear end is still sore from that. But so I'm hesitant to get into that discussion on tax on water yet. But that's it.
Thank you, Representative Eastland.
My question was kind of answered with Representative Eastland.
Okay, Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think a question for House Research Chair Ms. Dalton. Back in 91 and 92, that was my freshman year, my first freshman year, and we had a $1.7 billion shortfall, and if I remember correctly, we had cities coming to us begging us for the sales tax. They were begging us to put the sales tax on them because the alternative was much, much worse. So with that being said, and I remember back in 91, 92, Ms. Dalton, this was a temporary tax from 6 to 6.5. And putting these taxes on everything else, is that still a temporary tax?
Ms. Dalton.
Representative Davids, I think you're confusing imposing the tax on local governments and essentially strongly encouraging counties to impose a half-cent optional local sales tax, which did occur at about the same time. That money was supposed to go to local government, into what was called the local government trust fund, along with a 1.5% of the state tax, and be used to provide a stable source of aid. It really wasn't an optional tax, because basically any county that refused to impose it not only lost their county aid, but every local government within that county also lost their aid.
It was optional.
That was the optional tax. About 2 years later, the state took over that tax. They basically sunset the county optional sales tax, and that's when we increased the state sales tax from 6% to 6.5%.
But
and that was a permanent
Chair,
change.
And Ms. Dahl, that's a permanent change?
Representative Davids, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Dill.
Well, Madam Chair, maybe the DNR is the one that should be paying the sales tax on that water. And the reason is because it's the DNR that sells the water to the city under a water appropriation permit. And since the DNR is the one that's selling it and we're making a local unit of government pay sales tax on something that they're allegedly not even selling, we should be charging the DNR the sales tax because, as I said, when the city gets their water appropriation permit each year, or however often it's renewed, depending on the size of the user, there's a charge that the department charges, and then that money shows up in Representative Wagenius's bill as income. And so maybe we're really, this is another twist that maybe people in this room hadn't thought about, is that actually the state itself is in the business of selling resources. We sell resources in terms of taconite that is on state land.
Trees.
And trees. And I mean, somebody's going to have to come up with some kind of a policy that makes sense somewhere along the line. This could get real complicated if we started charging, if the DNR started having to pay or charge sales tax on taconite that they sell by the ton, or by trees that we sell by the cord, or by switchgrass that we cut and sell to an ethanol plant to make ethanol. This could get really complicated to fix a little problem. And then my other question is, how many cities are going to fall under it? How many cities have gotten audited? I'm thinking back in my experience as an administrator. We have a municipal liquor store, and I don't ever recall us getting audited for sales tax, even though we collect a lot of sales tax. I mean, the cities were expected to be pretty honest about that kind of thing and pay their
stuff.
You're
on the list now.
We're on the list. Yeah, but, I mean, the point is that this is complicated if you try and make a policy that fits everyone. So maybe the DNR, we should haul them in here and get them to pay the sales tax.
Well, I think Ms. Cadoon is our best resource here to answer questions about if the Department of Revenue is auditing in lots of cities on the sales tax. If Assistant Commissioner Cadoon wants to join us.
You don't get the water
free anymore.
No.
Assistant Commissioner Cadoon, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Beth Cadoon, Assistant Commissioner at the Department of Revenue. I don't know how much information I have to shed light on the subject. An email that I saw regarding just this issue is, I think there was three cities that we were aware of that was being audited regarding an issue like this. That's all I know. I don't know how many cities we tend to audit annually or biannually. And I really don't have any information regarding, I think, an earlier question regarding compliance and how many cities comply with this water sales tax payment for their public safety and how many do not. I don't have information regarding that as well. So sorry, I can't shed a little more light on it.
Okay, and Ms. O'Rourke is here, but maybe in the interest of time, we have another bill to get through. The League of Minnesota Cities probably has some information from its members as to, you know, whether or not people are getting audited on water, and maybe they could try to give us, if you know it off the top of your head, come on down. No? Okay, well, maybe you can provide that to us from the League's perspective. Representative Dill.
And Madam Chair, I just sitting here, the gears are kind of turning a little bit. There's also a fee. I think it's around $5 or $6 per connection that the DNR charges for every single water connection that they're not collecting sales tax on either. And that's a one-time per year fee. The city has to make a payment. If you had 1,000 connections, you multiply it times whatever that connection fee is. And I mean, a fee, wouldn't that require a tax to be paid? So I mean, I'm really starting to get into I'm feeling uncomfortable about how this is going forward because either that or we're going to balance the state budget here this afternoon.
I have one more wrinkle to ask before we go on to the next bill because I think, Representative Anderson, this has been a really healthy discussion. But, Ms. Dalton, my city, for example, we have water and then we buy water too. Mm-hmm. So my city is Bloomington and we have our own water facilities and we buy water from the city of Minneapolis. So when a city is buying water from a city, how's the tax works then? Does it, are you kind of, is both Minneapolis and Bloomington getting taxed in this regard?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, if Bloomington is buying water to resale, they should be buying it from Minneapolis, exempt from taxation as a sale for resale.
Okay. Thank you. That's
a lot here in taxing water. Representative Anderson, we're out of questions for you. Do you want some closing comments on your bill? We're going to first move it. We didn't have a quorum at the time. Could someone move Representative Anderson's bill? I don't have the House file in front of me. And Representative Garofalo is moving your bill for you, and now it's before us, and Representative Anderson.
Thank you again for hearing it. We thought this was a little bill, but a lot of interesting ramifications. You mentioned the League of Minnesota Cities. They were in favor and support of this bill, but I don't have any exact figures either as to number of cities or gallons or such. But again, just I guess out of common sense, we thought that the city should not pay sales tax on water they use for fighting fires, but it does open up some other doors that maybe need to be discussed at a later date. But again, thank you much, Madam Chair and committee members, for hearing my bill today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we're going to now lay over House File 2905 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Coles.
Madam Chair, I just think that next time Representative Anderson is back, things might go a little better if he brings treats from Charlie's Cafe.
Oh.
I know Representative Heidrick would have done that, so maybe next time treats from Charlie's, and you wouldn't have quite as tough a time.
Thank you. Representative Jackson. Representative Kulik Jackson, you know, you got the hyphen, wasn't sure.
There's no hyphen.
Oh, no hyphen? Are you a no hyphen person? Okay.
In fact, Kulik's my middle name. A whole education piece.
Okay, maybe we should just cover your name for a while. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so the bill, would someone move this bill? Okay, we're taking the Senate file, right? Representative Hillsborough moves Senate file 2885. And Representative Kulik Jackson, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. This bill is really not a tax bill. It is an administrative procedure and evidence bill. And what it does is it clarifies legislative intent from the last time we looked at the subject matter of what county assessors do back in 1993. As a matter of fact, and you've probably heard about the Shops of Woodbury case that was decided not based on legislative intent, but bare meaning of language misconstrued, because on its face it looked like something other than what we had intended. And in fact, the Court of Appeals is waiting to make any further determinations, and in its very dicta invited the legislature to fix this. This bill is the fix that would then allow county assessors to do what they have historically been doing, which is testify at appeals of property taxes. And I have Assistant Commissioner Beth Cadoon with me in case there are questions for her, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, and if I may, Representative Hillstrom, would you be willing to amend your motion? I should have made it clear. This is to go to the general register. This bill is no longer a tax bill, as Representative Kulik Jackson has mentioned. So Representative Hillstrom makes that motion. And members, this is where we had a discussion in a different bill, in the department's policy bill. We kind of all got into it. There were a lot of concerns. Representative Coles moved to strike it. Representative Kulik Jackson introduced a new bill. Representative Mullery's committee heard it, and by the wonderful magic of that committee, which we appreciate, they turned it into a bill that is not a tax bill. And so I think what they really did, in all seriousness, is address the concerns people were having in here, and it really does not even need to be in here, so we want to send it on its way. So are there questions on that, what happened with that bill? Ms. Cadoon, please.
Madam Chair, if I could just, Beth Cadoon with this Department of Revenue. This bill, as was mentioned, was originally in the Department of Revenue's policy bill. It was heard in tax committee here. At that time, the language that we had in the bill did have some concerns from the Minnesota State Bar Association tax section. The bill, as now amended, no longer has that concern, so they're no longer opposed to the legislation. So I just wanted to be clear on that.
Okay. And I do want to thank all the members who were involved in working on that. Representative Coles, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Jackson or Ms. Cadoon, could you just briefly describe how this changed from when we saw it? What is the change that happened? I was one of the people who had some concerns about the issue.
Ms. Cadoon.
Madam Chair, Representative Coles, the language that we originally had in our bill had some language that was directing the tax court on what they should do with the testimony, basically, which is that they should be, shall consider this expert testimony or otherwise for their tax court valuation appeals. And that language has now been stricken. It's no longer any sort of recommendation to the, no longer any instruction to the tax court on what they should do. What the bill does is continue the current practice for the tax court as well as other courts for evidence that they receive. So if there's evidence as if they've done their, their longstanding practice, that for any testimony they receive, they should look at their rules of evidence, and if they want to consider it an expert, they can do that. If they want to consider it lay witness, they can certainly do that from an assessor, as well as we're not telling them how to value or give any weight. That's all up to the tax court or other courts to determine what they want to do based on their rules.
Just to be clear then, Madam Chair, Representative Jackson, if a taxpayer challenges the appraisal done by a local assessor and is persuasive to the tax court that that appraisal done by the local assessor should not be admitted for whatever reason, this bill wouldn't prohibit that determination by the tax court, correct? The judge is going to have the authority to, as Ms. Cadoon was suggesting, utilize the rules of evidence, make the determination as to whether or not to consider evidence and what weight to give it. Is that correct?
Madam Chair and Representative Coles, that is correct.
All right. Madam Chair, Representative Jackson, thank you for your efforts on this. I think this has come a long way. I need to take a closer look at it as it moves towards the floor, but I think you've resolved some of my concerns. I appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Representative Reiner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up on that point, because I remember this well from when we had it before, and maybe to put it in non-attorney speak, this is permissive. As I read the language of the bill, it says the assessor can serve as an expert witness on with respect to properties in their jurisdiction, but the judge doesn't have to consider them an expert. The judge, at the end of the day, gets to make the decision whether they're an expert witness or not. Is that correct?
Madam Chair and Representative Reiner, that is correct.
Okay, and that was sort of the crux to when it was before our committee before, that it was going to set a new precedent in terms of testimony and whatever you attorneys call stuff admitted in court. So,
having listened to the entire audio, yes, that's correct.
Things, not stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Mallory.
Oh, Madam Chair. Thank you. I was not sure about that because in talking to the Chief Justice, he said that we could set the standards on who can testify in tax court because that, as he expressed to me, and I didn't realize that is not a part of the court system, is part of the agency system. And his problem was with our prior language would have usurped the court system. So I don't know what this means based on what he said to me.
Do you have a question for? Nope. Just okay.
No.
Further questions, comments. Anybody else want to address Representative Mallory's concern? Anyone like to speak for or against this bill? Okay. Just noting it for the record.
I'm going to clarify.
Okay. If not, if there is nothing else, then I'm going to call for the vote. This bill is House file, Senate file. 2885, and we're going to send it to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. And Representative Hillstrom, would you be willing to move the minutes of March 23, 24, and April 7th? Representative Hillstrom moves March 23rd, 24th, and April 7th. Discussion of the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Members, we're adjourned. 30.